This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Archer joins the show. Arch, how are you?
What up, Dave?
Fellas, good to be with you. Randy, hey, tell me, is Georgia-Alabama, is it a rivalry now? You talk about Georgia and Auburn. Is it considered a rivalry?
Not when you're 1-5 against them. I don't look at it that way. I just mean
I just want to check. I just want to check.
No, it's called a hate week, Dave. Hate week. That's all it is.
You guys at Georgia have a lot of hate week. Georgia,
hell yeah.
Tech, Auburn,
yeah.
There's a lot of hate week.
Florida, yeah, we hate them all.
Florida, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, what does it take for something to become a rivalry? Like, Falcons Saints are playing on Sunday. We'll spend plenty of time talking about that. That's a rivalry. There's obviously, you went to Iowa State. You've got a huge rivalry with Iowa. What does it take for something to become a rivalry?
Well, I think there's got to be some ability to beat the other team, you know, in at least an even amount.
Right.
And I think that sometimes that doesn't, and just what Randy was talking about, you're talking about 1-5 in your last six contests against Alabama. But I think what's on the line has something to do with it, too. And Georgia and Alabama played for everything. And this weekend is going to be a huge game. I get a chance to be over there. I'm going to call the game on radio, so I can't
wait
for that.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
I'm excited about going over there and watching these two teams play and what it's meant to this conference since these two teams have really kind of surged to supremacy over the last 5 or 6 years. So, I just think you got to have a degree of success against one another. I think it's one-sided. I know there's a lot of conversation about the Bedlam series and it going away, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Well, Oklahoma used to beat the hell out of Oklahoma State.
They did.
they won like, you know, they played like 60 times, and the Cowboys have won like 14 games or something like that. I don't know if that's a rivalry or not.
Hey, Dave. All right, so we talked about this. I'm talking about the last couple years as far as offensive execution. Now, this team is 6. I'm talking about the Falcons. 6 of 27 on third down this year. We understand that's horrible, but what is it? Do you? And I don't know if you noticed or not. What is their percentage play gain on first down, Dave? Because you always talk about it. You got to be good on first down to be a good third down team.
It's a great comment. It's a great thought. That's exactly where my eyes went. I don't have the exact number for you, Randy. I know that our percentage per play in this last game, based on only running 56 plays, was better than Kansas City's. Mm-hmm. But Kansas City ran 72 plays. So that's the real crux of the deal, is you're not running enough plays. I know everybody wants Kyle Pitts to get the ball and Drake London to get the ball and Bijan to carry it 20 times. Well, you got to have enough plays to run it, and some of it has to do with what you're talking about. I've got to be successful on first down. I got to be successful on second down, because the numbers, and you know it as well as I do, Randy, the numbers on third and long in the National Football League are probably sub 20%, and we've been in that area a great deal. Now, not so much this last game, and that's the part that gets you, have you scratching your head. You didn't convert in third and medium a great deal in this last game either. So you can bet that Zach Robinson and that entire offensive staff are scrubbing things, trying to clean things up. What do we need to do to make sure that we're in manageable and convertible situations?
With a couple days now to think about it, maybe watch some tape on it, certainly talk to guys about it, what stands out to you about those final two drives?
Well, this is a team that's got some clutchness to it, it seems like, Andy. I think that there's the quarterback has a lot to do with that. We were talking about this yesterday on the podcast, Falcons Audible, we do on AtlantaFalcons.com, and I thought Kirk did a really good job of kind of shifting gears. Once Once Caleb McGarry and Drew Dahlman went down, I thought Steve Spagnuolo shifted gears and said, okay, I'm coming. I'm coming to get you. You can't block me. And as it turned out, it snuffed out the run game, too, because they were kind of running through the run game to get to the quarterback in the pass game. They did a really good job of keeping Bijan Robinson in the backfield with the blitzing. Bijan was stepping up and picking people up when you want him out. Right. And I guarantee you that's another thing that Zach's looking at. This is a copycat league, and you can bet New Orleans is going to bring some of that stuff in this next game to see if you fixed it. So you want Bijan out of the pocket. But I thought getting back to Kirk, I thought Kirk did a really good job pre-snap of saying, you know what, I'm not going to be able to wait till after the ball snap to determine where I'm going to go with the ball. I'm going to determine that pre-snap. And that's not necessarily something the quarterback wants to do, because you guys know things can change once the ball snaps. But I thought he did a really good job of identifying soft corners, identifying soft defenders in the slot so he could get the ball out on time. And I thought that kick started and got the wheel rolling in those last two series.
Dave, real quick, because we were talking about it actually Monday after the game, the fourth down play where it comes out, Kirk changes the play and everything like that. I thought it was, if you're going to change it, that was a perfect play. Algiers, in my opinion, I think he just had a wrong read. What was your thought process on all that?
Yeah, and it's a check with me at the line of scrimmage, so he's not necessarily changing to something. Okay. They had a check with me. They either were going to run it one way or the other, and you know as well as I do, Randy, when he goes can, a lot of times he's flipping the play to the other side. So that's what he did at the line of scrimmage. I know a lot of people are saying he audible to do that. He just went with the check with me, and he went with the one that he thought, based on the look, was the better play.
Right.
So, yeah, and you've got Tyler Algier. How many times has Tyler been asked to be a lead blocker?
Correct.
And with them on the line of scrimmage the way they were, Bolden picked the line to run through, and I don't think Tyler actually picked him up visually to be able to hit him in the hole. He ran. And that's where Bolden came through. So I wasn't too concerned about going for it. I know there's a lot of conversation about what should you have gone for it? Should you kick the field goal? Now, obviously, in that final drive, you had to go. But to drive before that, should you have gone for it or kicked the field goal? I know you guys have debated that. I think, Randy, you said you'd have kicked the field goal.
Yep.
I think there's a lot of people that might have kicked it with 4 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden you give the guys the best in the game the football with 4 minutes left, and do you ever see the ball again?
Right.
You know, so there's that debate. And I know you said it in real time. A lot of people want to say it after the fact, and that's easy to do. So I credit you for saying that right at the time. But I didn't have a problem with the play. They felt like they were in the best play. There was one of two. And he didn't change the play. He just went to the one to check with me.
Gotcha.
Hey, Arch, do you think that quarterback sneak is something that's on their play sheet, or is Kirk's physical limitation something that sort of takes that away? Is that something that you think that they would do?
I think you could get to the quarterback sneak with him. I don't think he has a problem with that. I know that the perception of him driving off that leg, but if he can drop and throw, Andy, or bootleg. If you're running stuff from under center, and he's having to reach to get to Bijan to get him the football, and then bootleg out of that. I don't know why you would have a problem with him quarterback sneaking.
Okay,
Dave, give me some lowdown on the Saints. Obviously, they were red hot 2 weeks ago. Philadelphia did a great job against them. What's the thing about this Saints team?
Well, they're really good on defense again this year. They got 11 sacks in their first three games. They got three guys. Granderson has become a monster. Brzee, the youngster from Clemson, has been really good on the interior, so they're rushing the passer at a high level. They've got five interceptions already in the first three games. I thought the Philadelphia-New Orleans game was as hard a hitting defensive game as I've seen in a long time. They flat got after each other. Atlanta's going to have to be ready for the physicality because that's what New Orleans likes to play. They're going to have to bring it at them. And frankly, we didn't necessarily handle it that well against Kansas City on the offensive side. I think our defense is going to be challenged some, but Alvin Kamara is the head of the snake.
Right.
You got to make sure you take care of Kamara, and then you got to find Olave. Don't let Olave break your back.
Arch, Randy always talks about sort of breaking seasons down into quarters, first four games, get a better idea of who the team is, maybe more than just one or two. How will Sunday's outcome shape your outlook on these first four games?
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Well, it's certainly going to paint a picture, Andy, moving forward of are you even? Are you in a hole? Where are you from what you're going to need to do in the next 13 games? But I think that when I look at this team, Andy, you have not perform very well or consistently offensively. You're near the last of the league on third down conversions. You're near the last of the league in time of possession. The defense has been on the field about 35 minutes per game, and you've had the chance to win all three.
Yep. Crazy.
If you just fix a little bit of it, what does that do to you? All of a sudden, now you're winning all of those games. So I think it could flip around pretty quickly as this team gets to know one another. I thought the Justin Simmons interception was an indication of that. Mm-hmm. It was Justin Simmons and Bates got a little screwed up in the Philly game. Remember, they got a touchdown pass in the middle part of the end zone. Mm-hmm. Those two guys were talking to each other. What did they do this game? Those two guys had communicated. Bates rolls up. Simmons rolls over the top and picks Patrick Mahomes for the sixth time in his career. So you can see him growing right before your eyes, but obviously you don't want to drop a divisional game in your own building, Eddie.
No doubt.
Arch, we appreciate the time. Thank you.
Have a good call, D.
Thanks, guys. See you guys.
Dave Archer there, Falcons radio analyst. You'll hear him here Sunday afternoon calling the Falcons and the Saints game. Hell of a weekend for Arch.